Are you excited to be in the house of God? Amen. I'm really, really excited to be in the house of God. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 4 to 6. Hebrews chapter number 4, chapter number 11, verse number 4 to 6. The Bible says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent way, excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it being dead, he still speaks. Praise be to God. The Bible says in verse number 5, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Hallelujah. Many times we've sat under anointed preachers who speak about faith, and this morning I just want to I want us to refocus ourselves on this very on what I regard to be the most essential, the absolute key to the supernatural, because the Bible tells us that without faith we cannot please God. Praise God. Our God is a spirit, and he exists everywhere. And we may know that he has his dwelling place in heaven. The Bible actually regards the earth as his footstool. And our God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He is here right now. But he says that anyone who comes to me, in order for that person to really please him, then he has to come by faith. And he will never react to any kinds of kindness. He will never react to anything that is done out of that perimeter of faith. And therefore, as I was thinking about the topic of faith, the Lord, the Holy Spirit took me to chapter number 11, where it talks about faith. Praise God. Now, when we read the first two verses in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I began to gravitate towards those words, and I began to wonder what was in the mind of the writer of the book of Hebrews. And I came to wonder why he put the first two verses in the book of Hebrews, that faith, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Did he really mean to give us the definition of faith so that we can articulate ourselves or attract ourselves to that definition? And once we really memorized it and it became part of us, then we would qualify as men who had faith. But as I was going through the book of Hebrews, I realized that the writer of this book wanted to draw us to something that was more than a definition. Praise be to God. And I thank God for the songwriter who sings and say, you know, Lord, he declares unto the Lord, Lord, I bring to you more than a song. It is not in the songs that we sing, praise be to God. It is not the way, the connotations or the melody that is in a song, but it is the expression that is supposed to emanate from our hearts, directed to the creator of the whole universe. It is more than a song that we sing when we come to worship God. It is more than just opening up our mouths and mumbling some words unto the Lord. But it occurred unto me that it is that deep expression that emanates from our hearts, directed to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise be to God. And so I focus on these two verses, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, the conviction of things not seen. I don't think the writer of the book of Hebrews just wanted us to draw us to just a definition. He didn't just want us to draw us to a definition. And I couldn't help but just go back into the book of Hebrews. And if you can turn there into the book of Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 32 to 34. If you will, Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 32 to 34. It is just a few verses from there. Now it's talking about a bunch of Christians, how they were affected by the lifestyle after they had accepted the Lord. And this is exactly what the Bible says. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. Partly you were made a spectacle both by reproach and tribulations. And partly while you became companions of those who are so treated. For you had compassion on me and in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you had a better and an enduring position for yourselves in heaven. Praise be to God. Knowing that you had a better, in another translation says this, knowing that you had a deeper position of hope that was binding. Praise be to God. When you regard the things that have been set before you, the moment we were transformed into sonship, the moment we accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of our lives, we received a position that was binding. Praise be to God. While the earth and the world is attracted to material position, what is the standard of success in America today? It is how many cars you drive. It is the kind of car that you drive today. The kind of home that you live today. That is what passes for success in America. And unfortunately so for most of the world today. But when we received Jesus Christ, He brought something that kind of blurs what is the passion for the world. We received a possession that is so binding. The fact that we have received eternal life in us and we have received a hope of dwelling with Him days on end one time in the future, it creates an atmosphere whereby we regard Him as the ultimate, the finality. This is what I've been hoping for. This is the ultimate position that I can ever have, having the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Praise God. Let me tell you, there is a transformation that takes place whether you know it or you do not know it. When Jesus Christ is introduced into your life, He brings a permanent hope, an enduring hope. An enduring hope that Paul says that, you know what, compared to everything that I have, I regard Christ as the ultimate. Praise be to God. I count everything as loss. Oh, when I compare it to accepting and gaining a relationship with my Maker. Praise be to God. I regard everything as a loss when I compare it to this permanent hope, this absolute hope that I have received within me, this hope that is so binding. And when I regard the material possession, when I regard the things that I may acquire here on earth, I regard them as useless compared to that final, to that ultimate hope that I have received. And on verse number 32 to 34, the Bible says that, you know, this is a bunch of Christians. And this is exactly this. They say this: for you had compassion on me and in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods. I wonder today how many of us will be willing to surrender the little material possessions that we have for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wonder how many people would be willing to just surrender those little things that you have in your garage, or those things that you really possess so dearly, for the sake of the position that we have received. Praise be to God. And it is that is expressed in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11. Not just a definition. It is an expression. It is kind of like a panoramic scene that God intends to show us through men who lived through faith. Praise be to God. And when you go throughout chapter number 12, it talks of the giants of faith. It talks of, through faith, Abraham was able to do so and so. Actually, in the book of where we just read from verse number 4, the Bible says by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. There must have been something more than a definition in Abel. Praise be to God. I don't believe it within my heart that Abel just memorized that part of the scripture. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But it was kind of like an expression that he knew that there was a creator God. And what he had to offer him had to be in line with who God was in his life. It was an expression. It was a livelihood. It was a passion that was undying. It was a hope that was binding within Abel. That when he decided to give a sacrifice unto the Lord, he not only just decided to slaughter an animal or to pour blood for that sake, but he regarded his creator. He knew, you know what? This is the King of Kings, the Lord of all. He is the ultimate. He has always been there. And I ought to keep my all before him. It was an expression of what he knew about God. Praise be to God. When we talk about Enoch, the Bible just speaks about by faith, Enoch was just taken away so that he did not see death and was not found. Because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony. That he did what? He had this testimony that he did what, church? Come on, read your Bible. They had this testimony that he did what? He pleased God. Praise God. Now, those who come to God, for in order for God to be accepted, God can never be pleased unless we walk by, unless we come to God, and I mean, for God to accept us, we have to have come to him by faith. And the Bible says, ultimately on that verse, it says, and Enoch pleased God. So I see in the writer, in the mind of the writer of Hebrews, looking at the life of Enoch, even though there's not much that have been spoken or said about Enoch, the Bible says that just by faith, Enoch was translated to heaven. But Enoch must have been a man of faith, because the Bible says that eventually he pleased who? He pleased God. Praise be to God. So what I see in chapter number 11, it is an expression. God wants us to bring kind of like in a movie, in a theater, whereby we can see what it is, what faith is, by giving us examples of how this man of faith, this man of old, walked with God and expressed their livelihood, totally surrendering their lives. And the Bible says, because of living that expression, they were approved unto God. Praise be to God. Because of living that life, the Bible says that they were approved of God. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Glory be to Jesus. Let us go into the book of Hebrews, chapter number 6, verse number 11 to 12. I strongly believe that even as God displays the characters and the lives of these people in chapter number 11, he is just admonishing us and encouraging us. That my sons and my daughters, I would like your lives to be an expression of that faith, of that livelihood that was lived by this man. Because if I'm to accept your sacrifices, if I am to accept you the way you are, then I have first of all to see faith. For he who comes to God, we can never please him without faith. And I am bringing you the life of Abraham. I'm bringing you the life of Enoch. I'm bringing you the life of Noah. I'm bringing you the life of this man whose lives was an expression of faith, so that you can imitate them, so that you can live like they live, so that when you come before me, I will first of all see faith, and all your sacrifices will be accepted unto me. Praise be to God. In these end times, before we read that, those verses in these end times, we have seen children of God, or the church, today we might be excited about prayer. We might be excited about the Word of God. But let me tell you, church, if we do not do something about cultivating or just working on that driving force that we have about the zeal for the house of God, the zeal for prayer, the zeal for the Word of God, the zeal for fellowship, we cannot be guaranteed that we'll have it tomorrow. Praise be to God. And we have seen it in our day. We ask everybody on Wednesday, let's come here for prayer on Wednesday. But guess what? We might be excited. We might even have bring a preacher who might, you know, bring about a revival, and we are revived, and the next day, you know, we are going to our closet, everybody praying, everybody pulling their Bibles from the closet. But that does not guarantee that it's going to last for a week. Praise be to God. But the lives that we, if you read the life of Abraham, when you read the life of Noah, he had some kind of an endurance, something that pushed, you know, something that was within him that caused him to push the limits. Think about Noah. God gives him instructions to build an ark, and he is able to sustain the instructions for over 100 years. Praise be to God. There was no other voice from God that was recorded other than from that instruction that he first received. That Noah, I want you to build an ark, and I want you to build it under these specifications. I want you to get certain type of wood. And Noah records all this conversation that he has with God. And Noah, as he sojourns, if you read the account of the building of the ark, you'll be surprised how Noah was able to survive the intimidation and the pressure that he endured, you know, from the people of the day. Because, you know, it was just as we have life today, you know. And as Noah, with his family, heeded the word of God, and they knew as surely as they were alive that they surely heard from the Lord, they kept the vision going. It is that endurance. It is that kind of a tenacity that the Lord wants us to see displayed on this chapter. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. For the hope that you have received is a binding hope. The gift that we have received is a binding, a permanent, the ultimate. There is no other hope that we are looking forward to receive other than receiving the sacrifice that God has given unto the world. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. And he wants us to see that it is not just a witness. It is not just opening up your mouth and just declaring that, you know what, I'm born again. It is more. There is more to just giving a testimony. There is just more to just having that gift within you. God wants us to live that gift and to express it through our lives. Glory be to God. Are you with me this morning? And so much intimidation. People laughing at Noah. Oh, they even mocked him. They even almost cajoled him. He had to go through all the kind of pressures. But as surely as the Lord had given him instruction, the word of God was fulfilled. He held fast to the words that he had from the Lord. It is that enduring faith that God is looking forward for. For he said, as long as you're in this world, you're gonna face trouble. But what is trouble gonna do to you? What is trouble gonna do, shake to do? Is it gonna come and shake off your faith from the very foundation that you've been planted unto? What happens when you're not able to pay your bill this month? Are you going to quit church and just look for another job and say, I forget church and I forget all church folk because they do not give me anything? There is nothing that I gain from this. It is that tenacity when you're in the midst of great opposition. That tenacity that will never rob the goodness of God from us. Hallelujah. I was recalling many, many times when we were in Kenya. And times were so difficult. And we did not even have sometimes, I mean, we were almost creeping through. But there's one thing that I decided, and I made a choice for me and my family. That come rain, come sunshine,
I will never miss to go to the house of God. I will never neglect the coming together of one another. Sometimes it's easy for us to think that, oh, you know what? What does that fellowship do to me? But try to skip fellowships here and there for about a month, and then all suddenly you begin to realize, oh, I can't even, I feel like I have a detestfulness, some detestfulness about the things of God. The enemy has a way of drawing you from the very, very love that you first received. There are certain things that we have, we don't have to ignore. When God says that we should not neglect the coming together of one another, He knows why, what happens, and the repercussions of neglecting that instruction. When the Lord says that pray without ceasing for every opportunity that we have to keep communications with the heavens, He knows exactly what He is telling us. But let me tell you, church, it is a tenacity that a believer also receives. And it is within a believer to decide whether I am going to sustain myself working the works of Him that sent me, because night is coming when I cannot work no more. It is that enduring faith that continues. And when God looks down on heaven, He is able to see that perseverance. He is able to see the things that we are able to give up for His goodness. And He is able to look and behold and say, well done, my servant. And if there's any responsibility that is just about to be taken, we'll be among the candidates that will be given that responsibility. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter number 6, verse number 11 to 12. The Bible says, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Just as this man expressed their lives unto the Lord. Just as the Bible says, because of this faith. Because of this faith that was talked about in verse number 1 and 2. They were approved of God. And the Bible's telling us, admonishing us, and we desire that each one of us show the same diligence as this man of old to the full assurance of hope until the end. Praise be to God. Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 7. Just go there, please, and you'll be blessed. Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 12. Verse number 7. Hebrews 13, 7. The Bible says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith we follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Hallelujah. The Lord wants us to succeed. The Lord wants us to have an enduring faith. The Lord wants us to have a consistent expression of who He is. And He is admonishing us, consider those that rule over you. Consider their conduct. Consider the way they live for the Lord. Consider their tenacity. Consider the way they regard righteousness and holiness. And when you look at them, the Lord is admonishing us, imitate those. Imitate them. Praise be to God. Imitate them. Regard their conduct. See the outcome of their labor in faith. And should you see something that is really attractive, then imitate them. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you read Hebrews chapter number 10, let's go back to Hebrews chapter number 10. Verse number 35 to 36. The Bible says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Do not cast away your what?
which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Each and every one of these men that we read in chapter number 11, the so-called the giants of faith, they never cast away their confidence. As a man of God, or as a servant of God, as a child of God, there are going to be many tribulations. There are going to be many trials. But what is going to sustain us, number one, is the confidence that we have in this hope that we have received. So anybody who desires, or somebody who is going to have an endurance, number one, will have to keep their confidence intact. When the challenges come, and surely there are going to be many challenges, Brother Israel. When money is short, when your bank account doesn't speak what you want it to speak to you. When the bills are coming more than you're able to pay. When you have so many needs and you have less money to meet those needs. You still have to have that confidence. Praise the Lord. It is part of the enduring process of faith that we have to have confidence. Praise be to God. They never cast away your confidence. Praise be to God. Do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. See, the promise doesn't come. The prerequisite of us receiving the promise, number one, we have to have confidence. Praise be to God. Confidence. We have to have the confidence, the prerequisites of receiving the promise. Hallelujah. For faith is the substance of things hoped for. What we hope for from the Lord. The promises of God being fulfilled in our lives. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. We hope for the promises of God to be fulfilled in our lives. In order for the promises of God to be fulfilled in our lives, there has to be some sort of confidence that Him who assured me of those promises will bring them to a fulfillment. Hallelujah. We have to have this consistent confidence that we cannot be swayed from the left, or we cannot be swayed from the right, knowing that the confidence that we have, the confidence in the Lord, that Him that promised us shall fulfill them. Number two, according to the word of God, for you have need of endurance. Endurance. Endurance is when, what is endurance? If somebody asked you, what is endurance, Brother Julius, what is endurance? Huh? Staying the course. Praise the Lord. Even when you're surmounted, you're almost blown out by the wind. Pressure from every direction, but you're still, I feel that I don't have money in my pocket. The bill collectors are calling, but I'm not giving up on my God. I still have the confidence that He that assured me of good things, He is going to bring them to pass. Staying the course. Regardless, when calls of compromise are coming and they are so loud that you cannot hear any other voice, even the still voice of the Holy Spirit has been swallowed up, you still stay. Hallelujah. When the pastor calls for prayer, regardless of the things that I'm going through, I don't feel like going to the house of God. I don't feel like going into my closet to call upon the name of the Lord. But I will still stay the course. Praise the Lord. My friends have deserted me. Things are coming in a mighty rushing wind all towards my direction. But staying the course. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says that after we stay the course, after that endurance moments, coming to church when it doesn't sound like it is I'm supposed to come to church, foregoing some sacrifices so that I can come and corporately worship with other brothers and sisters, staying the course. And the Bible says, church, that after that endurance moments, then we shall be able to be in a position to do the will of God. Praise the Lord. And after we do the will of God, after we do what pleases Him, then shall the promise come. Hallelujah.
And let me tell you, you analyze the characters of Abraham, the characters of Enoch, even though we don't have, should we have like an opportunity to delve into the life of Enoch? Should we have an opportunity to, we have an opportunity already in the Bible. We know, already know the lives of Noah. This man stayed the course. Praise the Lord. They did what is the will of God. God spoke to Noah and he told him, you have to go to a certain place and I need you to build the ark with a certain type of a tree. And that tree, they have to go to specific places to really look for them. He did the will of God. He followed his instruction. And finally, he received the promise. Hallelujah. So chapter 11, it is not just a definition, but it is an expression of what God wants us to see. Regard this man. See how they endured. See how they stayed the course. See how they followed my will. See how the promise came into being. Look at Abraham at 99 years old, still holding on. How many of us would really hold on a promise that I will make you a father of a great nation? And the Lord brings him out and he shows him the sky. If you can number the stars, then you'll be able to name your children, your generation. And Abraham, even though he is stumbled. See, it is not how, let me tell you, the stumbling is not the deal. But it's what you do after you stumble. Eventually, God came through for Abraham and he gave him a son. Hallelujah. There are so many things that we have been shortchanged by the enemy. Because pressure has come so much like a tsunami. And everything you look and we concentrate on is a tsunami that we are looking right now. But if God can give us an ability to see beyond the tsunami, if God can give us the ability to see beyond the waves, if God can give us the ability to see the things that are surrounding us, then we'll know that should we do the will of God, then the promise shall surely come. I do not believe even within a single iota of my body that any one of you was brought in America by mistake. I believe there was a divine connection why God allowed that consulate to give you a visa to come to the United States. For why do I say this? There are so many people who try to come over here and they never make it. But God allowed that lady, that man, to stamp on your passport and give you access to America. This is the greatest nation on earth. And I believe that if only we can stay the course, if you have known the Lord and tested his faithfulness, and if you know what he is able to do, in regardless of the things that come towards your way, if you can just trust God to help you see the image of the life that you're going to live after the tsunami that is coming right now, church, the promise is still going to come. You might not be able to pay your bills right now. The relationship within you, within your family is almost tearing away. But if you can just hang on faith and trust the Lord, he surely shall come. Praise the Lord. If he came for Noah, why do you think that he's not going to come for you? If he came for Abraham, how much more do you think he values you? He is still going to come for us. Praise be to God. And now finally, thank you, Jesus. Finally, as I come to conclude now, we are able to connect what God expresses and recommends for us as faith, not just a definition. In verse number 1 and 2, he says, now faith is the substance, the reality of what is hoped for, and the proof of what is not seen. Now go to verse number 6 of the same chapter. Verse number 6. Can somebody read for me? Somebody read verse number 6, chapter number 11, please. Hallelujah. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without that expression of enduring and doing the will of God and waiting on the promise, it is impossible for you to please God. And part B of verse number 6, it says, for those who come to him, oh glory, for those who come to him, for those who come to him must do what? Must believe that he is. Oh glory. For those who come to God, he is saying, the reason why I put verse number 1 and 2, I just want to paraphrase it to you. For those who come to me must first believe that I am God. Oh, glory to Jesus. For those who come to God must first believe that he is. Let me tell you, there's something about the nature of God that he is so jealous. He is so jealous of imitations of things that we regard before when we come to him. He wants us to, without any out of doubt, to know that he is. Glory be to Jesus. He is our unseen God. Praise be to God. God has never manifested himself in a bodily form except for Jesus. We have never seen God the Father, even though we saw Jesus. And he says, if you have seen me, then you have seen the Father. But he is our unseen God. And we know the wondrous works that he has done. Praise God. We must believe that his mighty hand has put all these nations together. They have put all these tasks together. So when we come before him, even though we may not see him physically, everybody who comes before him must recognize that he is. Hallelujah. That he is Jehovah God, that he is almighty, that he is greater than any other thing. When we come to God, we must believe that he never came into existence, but he was there. Glory be to God. The enormity, the magnitude, and the splendor of God. Where he who comes to him must believe. Faith is a substance of things not seen. He explains and says, for faith is a substance of things not seen. And what does he say as he concludes? And those who seek him, for those who come to God must believe, for number one, he is God. And secondly, what does he say? They must believe that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is the rewarder. He is the fulfiller of every promise there is on the Bible. When I come to God, I have to believe that he is gonna reward me. He is the fulfiller of every promise that I'm sitting on right now. I may not have money, but when I come to God, I know that everything there is on earth, everything within the universe is there for my disposal. When I come before God, I have to know that he will bless me, because they must believe that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Father is a rewarder of life. He has given life to you. He has given the sustenance that you have today. Many times, church, let me tell you, it is possible. It is very practical and natural to think, oh, it is my education. I pay this bill by my own money. I am able to go to work because my car starts every morning. And I'm able to go through 75 because the traffic, I obey the traffic lights. It is easy to think that we do certain things just by our own strength. But he who comes to God must first believe that he is. Church, when we come here, whenever you fall down or whenever you're driving your car and you're in that worshipful moment, let me tell you, the first thing that the Lord honors, he looks at your heart. Let me tell you, faith is not determined by you. Faith is not determined by your character. And it is determined by the character of God. Because when he says that he who comes to me must recognize who I am, it is God who has provided the prerequisites of faith. Glory be to Jesus. And so in those moments, when you are hungry and you are coming before him, before you utter any word, let the Spirit of God help you to recognize his majesty. to recognize his sovereignty, to recognize his lordship. Lord, I stand in awe. I don't have any words. The Bible says that them that come before the Lord, let their words be few. Sometimes you may have just to keep silent before the majesty of God and his glory. You might just have to keep silent and just listen and recognize within your entire being that without his majesty, I would never be here. Glory be to God. And so when we come, it is a solemn moment. I don't come to church because my pastor wants, I want my pastor to see that I came. I don't want to be bothered by the presence of anybody next to me. But when I begin to worship God, I don't even want to look around. I don't want to be distracted because the Lord tells me you have to recognize that I am. And Moses asked him, who do I say that sent me? And God told him, go tell them, I am sent you. He is the great I am. Let me tell you, in Hebrew and in Greek, they don't have enough consonants to even put together the name of God. They cannot, they're filled with O. When they even begin to pronounce the name of God, they put the words Yahweh, even though it's not pronounced as Yahweh. They just could not find the consonants to just put together the name of our God. I mean, they were just filled with so much awe, so that, you know, I cannot even pronounce his name. It is that majestic awe. When you come before him, you recognize that he's the one who has put everything together. And also he says that when I come to him, that I'm going to recognize I'm not coming out of here empty pocket. I'm not coming out of here empty handed, because he is the rewarder. He is the reward. You have to see. You have to believe the majesty of God. You have to believe the richness and the greatness and the bigness and the way God has so much resources and he is willing to dish them out to his children. He is a jealous God. And he says, you know what? For they that come before me, they have first of all to believe that I am God and that I'm the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The rewarder. It is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That is the rewarder. The evidence of things not seen. I need a car, Lord. When I come to you, first of all, I recognize your greatness. I recognize your majestic power. But when I come to you, and not only do I recognize you as God, the ultimate God, the God of all gods, the King of all kings, but also I know evidence of no things not seen are within you. You are the rewarder. You're going to reward me. You're going to give me some gifts. God wants that. And he says, if you come before me with those two things, then I will recognize. I'll recognize faith. I'll see faith. I want you to come before me to recognize that I'm God beyond any other God. And I want you to, with the attitude that you come, when you come before me, I want you to know that I'm the rewarder. I'm the fulfiller of the things, the hope of things hoped for, the evidence of things hoped for. Know for sure that they are going to come towards you. And when I see those things, I will embrace you. I will get together with you. I will fellowship with you. And I will regard you. That is the attitude that this man had. And that's why it is just faith cannot just be summarized with the two sentences. There is an expression of your livelihood after you know who God is, that you're not going to quit on him when things become so difficult. And as our brother told us, it is staying the course. It is staying the course regardless of the things that come for. But number one, you have to have confidence. Confidence that the hope that you have received is binding. The hope that we have received is permanent. The hope that we have received surpasses everything. The passes of success in our great nation, America. It is not about the great cars. It's not about a great home. It is not having the greatness, the things that we store. But it's this hope that we have, the enduring hope. Praise be to God. Shall we stand on